morning. We've got a nasty PMI print this morning showing that businesses are contracting at an alarming rate. Does this mean that the great pause is coming? Nasty business news at the same time coming out of Nike, Walmart, Twitter trials. The Ripple case is actually getting pretty interesting. We'll take a look at what's going on there. Europe backtracks on its plans to ID users sending crypto to hardware wallets. Super interesting. We've got the Abra team here to talk about Abra Boost, our new service for qualified investors to earn yield on their stable coins and crypto holdings. All right, it's time for a Busy Money Talks. All right. Hello, everyone. We've got a lot to talk about. So it is ugly. U-G-L-Y. There's no other way to describe it. Macro is ugly. Looks like crypto is actually becoming a kind of a calming factor in the world of macro. Who would have thunk it? Well, here we are. So I think Bitcoin is basically at the same price it was at in mid-June. And I would assume volatility is contracting to near record lows, certainly for the last couple of years anyway. So it looks to me like everything is breaking. If you haven't been paying attention, UK bond markets basically broke this week. The UK has had no choice but to reinstitute bond buying, which is basically quantitative easing in another costume, whatever you want to call it. The Fed, on the other hand, has barely begun selling treasuries into what is already effectively a non-existing treasury market, totally one-sided. DXY, which is the dollar index, is at insane highs. The dollar is going through the roof. Rates are already above levels that would bankrupt most Western governments, including the United States government. And, you know, now the Fed is slowly insinuating that they need some time to assess the impact of the balance sheet runoff. This morning, the September Chicago PMI number came in at 45.7. Now, so for those of you who don't know what this means, let me show you, I'll share my screen here, but let me show you this tweet from Jim Bianco, who I love following. He's really good. You should follow him if you don't, along with Dan and Raul and a bunch of others. But basically this, let's see if it's letting me do this here. So basically this Chicago, that's the wrong screen. Let me stop that. Anyway, while I'm doing this, this PMI number came in with a huge miss. The consensus was 51.8. It's basically a business barometer index. It was formerly known as the Purchasing Manager Survey. They've renamed it to be the Business Barometer Index, which actually probably makes more sense to the uninitiated. But the bottom line is missed bad. The consensus was 51.8. The low end of the range was 49.5. It came in at 45.7. And only one time when the measure was this low have we not been in recession. The other seven times in the last 50 or so years, we have been in recession. And as I've been telling you for a while, we are in recession. We've been in one, and we're going to be in one for a few more months. So anyway, so here's Jim's tweet on that. You can see the business barometer index. Let me see if I can zoom in on this. There we go. So that should give you a better view of it. You can see here on the right, 45.7, but more importantly, the trend is ugly. And this makes sense. I talked about this with Raul. I've talked about it on other money talks. This number is going to get most likely into the high 30s. And that is going to basically have 100% of the time that has coincided with a pause and then a reversal in interest rates. And as I've told you before, my take is that points to a large run up in risk on assets because of expectations of a reversal in interest rate and credit policies. Let me stop this. So the bottom line is that what we're seeing is inventories are expanding, right? So this morning, if you're paying attention to the news, Nike stock got hammered. Why do we care about Nike stock? Well, their inventories ballooned. The street estimate on inventories was for about $7 billion at the end of last quarter. So it came in closer to $10 billion, which was a 44% miss. You don't want inventories to be too high. What that means is either they have to basically use their balance sheet to absorb, maintain their margins, or they have to cut prices dramatically, which will eat into their margins. And their gross profit margins already took a big hit last quarter. And so it was something like 44% versus a 45% estimate, which for a big business like that, which is pretty good at setting expectations, it's a really big miss and the stock got hammered. Now, I actually think the big barometer of things to come for the next few months is Walmart. Now, I always have said that if Walmart has gives us any indication that an ugly Christmas season is coming, then the Fed is really going to have no choice, because you're going to start to see a dramatic slowdown, not only in the economy, but in employment, right? So now they announced in September that they're hiring 40,000 seasonal workers to help with the upcoming holiday season. Now you may say, hey, that's fantastic. 40,000 more workers, it's going to keep the economy going. But that is in contrast to more than 150,000 seasonal workers they added last year. So this is a huge, huge, sizable drop in the number of workers. So this is problematic because Walmart's inventory levels are still around record levels. So what that tells us is the consumer is worried. The consumer is worried that they can't afford to buy all the crap that Walmart sells. Sorry, but that's what it is. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. There was really bad news coming out of FedEx consistent with this. FedEx basically cuts expectations dramatically for the second half with a very, very grim outlook, saying that we are in global recession and volume decline is happening in every segment around the world. And those of you saying, well, it's Amazon putting trucks on the street. That is not happening everywhere in the world. And Amazon probably represents less than 2 or 3% of FedEx's business. So there is definitely a global slowdown happening. All right. So we've got nasty PMI numbers. We've got Walmart showing big signs of slowdown. Nike, big signs of slowdown. Interestingly, Netflix is up huge on their ad business announcements. Again, I don't know what it means for all of us, except to say that if consumers themselves are going to slow down investing in streaming services, the growth has to come from somewhere, and they're going to look for advertising. I do care about Twitter because it's of its impact on the investor world and the degree to which it gets as close as it can be to being a free speech platform. So I don't know if you saw that the text messages that were released between Musk and some of the execs at Twitter while he was in the process of trying to buy the company to take it private. It's really interesting. And back in April, Musk tweeted that Twitter is dying, and Agrawal basically sent him a private text, said, "You are free to tweet. Is Twitter dying or anything else about Twitter? But it's my responsibility to tell you that it's not helping me make Twitter better in the current context. Next time we speak, I'd like you or to provide you perspective on the level of the internal distraction right now and how it is hurting our ability to do work. I hope this AMA will help people get to know you, to understand why you believe in Twitter and trust you. And I'd like the company to get to a place where we are more resilient and don't get distracted, but we aren't there right now." And in less than a minute, Musk responded, "What did you get done this week? Ouch. I'm not joining the board. This is a waste of time. I will make an offer to take Twitter private." Wow. Okay. So that trial is going to get really, really ugly. So there you see that. Let me stop sharing this. Okay. So Ripple, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Ripple. So much going on this week. So lots of interesting news from Ripple. I had a lot of talk. I was on the conference circuit the last couple of weeks. That's why we took last week off. And Ripple, XRP, SEC case, all over, every top of mind for everyone again. They had a big kind of decisive win this morning. The judge ordered the SEC to turn what they call Hinman documents over to Ripple after months of going back and forth. So apparently the person who very senior person in the SEC, Bill Hinman, William Hinman, made some comments publicly years ago that Bitcoin and Ether are not securities. And apparently Ripple believes that this helps make their case as well as it relates to XRP. And they've been trying to get internal documents to this effect, and the SEC had refused to turn them over. They've not only refused at the beginning; they were ordered by the court to turn them over. They refused again, and it went up to a higher court. And the higher court is now telling them to turn them over, with the higher court judge agreeing with every single issue related to the. To this issue that the prior judge had made. So anyway, so things have turned around a little bit for Ripple. I think the case was seen as going fairly poorly for them. A couple of other companies filed amicus briefs on behalf of Ripple. I've told you before, my take on all of this is that it's possible that this was a securities issuance as they were raising money over the years. But the SEC, even after they made their ICO guidance, I think it was in 2017, allowed this to go on for years, right? I think 7 years in total before they decided to sue Ripple. And so it doesn't really make sense to me why you would allow this to go on for 7 years. I just don't get it. All right. So interesting. I can't wait to see what comes of this. Again, on the conference circuit the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's definitely been a super interesting conversation point. Lastly, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Europe, interesting news out of the European Parliament this morning. I guess the travel rule, the group that is responsible for implementing the travel rule in Europe has decided that they're no longer going to enforce this KYC rule on people sending crypto to private wallets, which actually made no sense anyway. So it's good to see them backtracking on this. I didn't see a lot of detail on it. It just hit the wire about a half hour before we started Money Talks this morning. And so I haven't had a chance to look at it in detail. So a bunch of podcasts have come out that we've been doing the last few weeks. You saw our announcement on the formation of Abra Bank and Abra International, the launch of Abra Boost, which we'll get into in a few minutes with the Abra team. So as part of that, we've been making the rounds. We were on The Scoop, which I think The Block is releasing either today or early next week. I haven't seen that yet. We were on the Empire podcast. Salt released a podcast that we did yesterday after the Salt conference, which was really good. And thanks again to the team from Salt for hosting us. It was a fantastic experience. Digital Asset Summit was also really well done. I was at Sari last week in New York, their mainnet conference run by Ryan Selkis and his team, which was a little bit more technical in nature. That was a lot of fun. And now back to the grind. I think the next big event for us is going to be the LA Blockchain Summit. So any of you down in Los Angeles, we'll look forward to seeing you there, and then gearing up for a big Art Basel with our NFT product launch. So lots happening the next few weeks here on the marketing and conference circuit. But it's been a fun September. I'm happy to be done with it for a little while. Okay. So that's it for the news. You can check out some of the other podcasts where we get into some of the nuances of Abra Bank, Abra International, Abra Boost. We're gonna do a little bit of a discussion now with the Abra product and support team. We're going to bring them on. So guys, come on into the Zoom here and join me. We've got, I think, everybody here has been on before. So, you know, Priya from our product team, Deepak, who runs product, Tanner, who's on our support team, runs support. So welcome to all of you. Welcome back. Good to see you all.
Hey, Will. Thanks for having us. Hey,
everyone.
Thank you.
Cool. So let's get into it. Let's talk about AbraBoost for a minute. I'm getting a lot of questions already in the live chat. By the way, we've got the live chat here on YouTube. Click the like button, please. It really helps us. I've got questions from Facebook. I see a couple from Twitter. All right. So everybody is chiming in already. I'm seeing some questions. So let me get to a couple of them. Let's just kind of give an overview of what's happening with Boost. So maybe Deepak, you want to talk about maybe just an update in general of what's happening, maybe a product in general, and then segue into Priya giving us an update on Boost.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. So absolutely. So I'll just give a general update on where we are with product, and I will hand it off to Priya to talk more about Boost. But we've been talking a bunch since the last few weeks or months now about the big trading infrastructure migration. Let's just start there. We are maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from starting to do the actual migration of users. So what that means is some users will already start to see and experience the new trading infrastructure. So that is, you know, in line with what we had planned, which is great. The team is on track. And we believe that by mid-November to end November, maximum by end of November, everybody would have migrated onto the new trading infrastructure. It's going to be very, very exciting. And for those people who haven't kept up with this, we're very excited about this because the trading infrastructure that we used to or that we use today was put in place about 3 to 4 years ago. So it's very dated, very limited. Once we migrate over to the new infrastructure, the way our users are going to see the benefits are basically you're going to find much better prices, much better selections. You're going to see more pairs that you can exchange in and out of, and you're going to see very deep liquidity and very low spreads. So all in all, really, really amazing update for our users there. We are very close. Like I said, some users will begin to see the new infrastructure by mid of October. All of us would then get migrated to the new infrastructure by end of November. So that's a quick update on our trading infrastructure. Big deal for Abra. Really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. All right. So should we talk about Boost, or there's any other updates you want to share first?
I can give a quick update on credit card and NFT. So Bill pointed out really quickly that NFT, we're very excited to be launching NFT product at Art Basel end of November. So the team is on track. So we are very, very excited about that and looking forward to it. And just a quick update on credit card as well. The team seems to be on track to launch this year, so sometime in December. Looking forward to that as well. So that was a quick update on generally on product side, but to talk about Boost, maybe I'll just hand it over to Priya.
Wow, lots going on. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. So we announced that we will be forming Abra Bank and Abra International. And as part of the process, we're launching Abra Boost next week on October 3rd. So Abra Boost is essentially a new product offering, which will enable all qualified investors to deposit and earn interest on their stable coins and other digital assets. And so in the US, all institutional investors and individuals who are accredited will have access to Abra Boost. And this requirement essentially is kind of in effect till we launch Abra Bank in the US. Outside of the US, Abra Boost is going to be available to all individual and institutional investors. And they will be transitioned from Abra Earn to Abra Boost in a seamless way. So new new non-US investors can onboard as usual and continue to use Abra Boost as usual. Happy to go into details and specifics of how you can become accredited, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
So today, about 2 weeks ago, we launched a process for our investors, individual investors in the US to start getting accredited. And our support team, Tanner and his team, have really been helping our investors get through the process really quickly. Next week, we're going to launch this process in a much seamless way from the app. So we really have two standards, income standard. If you have an income, individual income over 200K or joint income with your spouse over 300K for last 2 years, you can qualify through that standard. Or if you have a net worth of over 1 million, either individual or joint, excluding your primary residence in the US, you could qualify as an accredited investor through the net worth standard. So with those two standards, essentially, you can start the process right from your app. So you will see Abra Boost in your app starting Monday, which is really your own product. And if you go to the app and you hit transfer on your Abra Boost screen on the top left, you will be able to start the process and get through it in very quickly in two steps. Our document requirements are fairly simple. We have it listed on our website on support.abra.com. So this process should be fairly straightforward for most of our investors in the US.
Yeah. Okay. So just summarize really quick. If you're a non-US user, you shouldn't need to do anything. You're automatically going to be migrated from Abra Earn to Abra Boost at some point. In early October, you'll just see Abra Boost. For US users who have a balance in Abra Earn, you don't need to do anything right now, but if you want to start the process, you can. But if you try to add more money into your Earn account after October 3rd, you're going to be asked to migrate to Abra Boost by uploading the documents that Priya was describing. So is that accurate?
Yes. Okay. So you will, perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the support team is here. Tanner's here. He can answer any questions that we have, but we're going to keep it really, really simple. The app will walk you through the steps. If you want to start the process now, you can do it. And you just go to the support function in the Abra app. Is that right, Tanner?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah, you can land on our support site. We have an FAQ page that has all the answers that you're looking for. And of course, feel free to reach out if you require any assistance at all. We're happy to help.
Yep. Cool. And by the way, if you haven't tried it, it's got a really cool kind of natural language feature now where it will interpret the questions, try to help you right away, and then of course, connect you with live support immediately. If it can't help you. And I use it myself. And usually I'd say it's like 75-80% I'm able to get my question answered on my own. And then I'll end up talking to somebody the other 20% of the time. So it's all good. And so Tanner said, the FAQs there inside the support function will show you what docs you would need to upload to be able to continue to deposit into Abra Boost. So some folks are asking why the change from Earn to Boost. Let me just explain. So the Abra Earn accounts are actually issued by Prime Trust, which is a state chartered trust company in the US. And as part of the process of migrating these accounts to be Abra owned, we need to basically create an entirely new program because we can't simply migrate accounts from one bank to another. We don't own those accounts. So as part of that process, we're setting up a program that we do own. And to make it clear, both for us, for you, and for regulators and others, we've set up a new program with a new name. And so Abra International will become the issuer of the Abra Boost accounts. Abra's US organization will become the issuer of Abra Boost accounts, but because the Abra Bank is not live yet, we're relegated, at least for now, to accredited investors. And then once the bank goes live, we should be in a position to migrate at some point those accounts back to everyone on the retail side, accredited or not. No specific timing for that yet, so not setting expectations, but that is the plan for us to take all of that in-house. So hopefully that all makes sense and answers the question as to why we're doing this. And so if you don't qualify as accredited and you still have funds in EARN, I see John's question here. Yes, John, you will be able to keep those funds in EARN, and you just won't be able to add new funds via Boost. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense, or at least the process that we're describing makes sense. We don't make the rules, we just follow the rules. And so we bypass a lot of this if it was up to us, but we just have to go step by step and make sure that all of the state and federal rules are being accurately followed as we do this. Okay. All right.
Bill, I might just quickly add that.
Deepak, please.
Yeah, I'll just quickly add. So it's not just that you can keep your funds in EARN, but you will continue to earn interest
of course
on those funds in yep. EARN until a certain point in time. But
thank you for clarifying. And I think we've actually raised rates on BCH in the last few days. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think we raised it by 2%. Yeah.
Yeah, up dramatically. We're seeing a lot of interest in BCH on the deposit side there. So if you're holding any BCH and you haven't moved it in, now's a good time to do that. We've seen also the staking volume on ETH is up significantly. There's a chance that we'll be able to turn on staking for non-accredited investors sooner. No promises there, something that we're working on with the legal team. I probably shouldn't even be saying that. But anyway, they're working on it, and hopefully we'll be able to get that to you even sooner. All right. So people are asking if there's going to be security holds related to this on funds. The answer is no, we don't do that at ABRA. Your funds or your funds, unless there's some government subpoena specific to your funds, which I don't even remember that happening at ABRA. Then your funds are your funds, and we don't. The only time you have a hold on funds is if you use ACH in the US to buy crypto or buy stable coins. Then at that point, there is a hold in terms of the amount of time that you need to leave the funds in the account, but there's no hold on your ability to buy or sell crypto. But that's specific to ACH. If you deposit in crypto, you can withdraw in crypto, no limitations. If you buy via credit card or bank wire, also no limitations. If you're in the UK, you're using our FasterPay or SEPA functions in Europe, also no limitations. Okay, so I've got some other questions here. Let's do a little bit of an AMA for you guys. Let's take maybe 10 minutes here. So Tanner, why don't we talk about what else you're seeing on the support side? I know we've gotten a lot more interaction. Business is definitely picking up coming out of the summer here. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, lots of questions about new products and accreditation. So hopefully we answered all of those for sure. I would say that's been a big boost in our volume. Outside of that, just a lot of excitement about what is to come. I think credit, NFT, stuff like that. But any other service needs that you have, questions that you have with regards to your ABRA wallet, we're always here and happy to help. We're available 24/7. So I would say as far as like, what are we seeing? We're seeing lots of questions, lots of interest, and people are really excited for what's to come for sure.
Yep. Awesome. And again, just to keep, I know I keep reminding people, but we do have that live support function in the app. And so if there's a question you're not comfortable asking here in front of everyone, then of course you can do it there. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of you asking if I'm Satoshi. I am not Satoshi. And even if I was, I wouldn't tell you anyway. So there's no point in asking. But since I'm not, I can tell you I'm not even close. I wish I was Satoshi, but I'm not. I'm not that clever. So somebody asking me about trust accounts. So I don't remember the email address, but maybe one of you does. You can basically set up a trust account directly via our sales team. And you can either get the contact information for sales directly via the support or on the website. Maybe one of you has it. I can post it on the live chat here as well. So Deepak, interesting question here. So what is the advantage of the new trading system, versus, versus what you have today? And will you be adding more coins? I think you're on mute, bud.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I alluded to it a little bit before, but the way what this is the first step to limitless improvements that you can make to the trading experience. What this allows us to do is basically we can add much more easily and quickly liquidity sources to this infrastructure. What that means is that we will be very intelligently be able to look at your trade and route it to whichever liquidity source on the back end that gets you the best trade, right? That's what it all comes down to in the end. The more sources they are, the chances are that you get a better trade, better bang for your buck, right? And so what that really means is that we get to add more liquidity. That translates to better prices for you, better spreads, lower spreads. And we are already a zero fee trading service. So it all comes down to spread, and we can minimize the spread almost down to zero by moving into this kind of an infrastructure. And because I said that, we're also able to add more and more liquidity sources over time, that also means that you're going to get better selection, much, much wider selection. We're going to be able to do that a lot quicker. So we've been getting a lot of requests forever on Solana, and we still haven't been able to add Solana. And that is because of a limitation of our existing infra. But when we move over to the new infrastructure, one of the first things that we'll do is look at all the top five, top 10 requested coins that we don't have today, and we list them all. And we can do that very quickly. So yes, back to your question, you would be seeing many more assets listed on Avertrade. You would get much better prices and near zero spreads.
Yep. That's awesome. And by the way, I've been talking to the Solana team the last few days. They're like, when are you guys listing Solana? There's so much stuff. When are you going to use Solana for your new NFT stuff? I'm like, okay, we got you. So I'm really excited about this change, not just for Solana, but a bunch of other things. So it's coming. Another question about USDC. I forgot who asked it. Sorry, I have so many questions coming in. So I think it was Adam, but if I got your name wrong, Adam, I apologize. A whole bunch of questions around USDC the last couple of weeks. I've been avoiding the question just because we've got a new product coming and I don't want to talk about it yet. But I was at conference circuit. I was at the Circle Converge conference. I spoke on a really cool panel yesterday. And we will be making a really cool announcement. I think we have an even better solution than what Adam was asking about having USDC become the default. We're going to be going to a multi stablecoin solution. I'm not going to give away all the details now, but we'll be supporting a lot of stablecoins for both deposits, withdrawals, with zero spread. I'll tell you that now, and it's going to be coming in the next few weeks. So if you want to not only store with stablecoins but move between them, we're going to give you a super cool, easy way to do that. All right. So give us, it's a part of this trading system launch, so I don't want to give it all away now, but it's looking good. So a bunch of comments on people being really angry about accredited investor rules in the United States. And look, I actually agree with you. And there's people in the SEC that agree with you. I mean, if you look at the Commissioner Pierce, who's very crypto friendly, she's publicly said that she thinks the rules for accredited investors are ridiculous, right? You can go gamble at a casino irresponsibly, but you can do your homework as an investor and you're shut out of certain investment opportunities because you're not considered an accredited investor. I think it's ridiculous, but my opinion is irrelevant. I think what matters is that we have to follow the rules. And basically, as we make this migration away from Prime Trust to Abra owning these accounts until they're issued by the bank, we're forced to follow this explicit rule around only supporting accredited investors in the U.S. And until that rule changes, we have to follow that rule just like everyone else. So yes, I think it's totally reasonable to be angry about those rules. And just make sure you're directing that frustration in the correct direction, since we're just the messenger for the most part on this. Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I pick on Deepak again. What's happening with CPERCS? Any update there? I've gotten a few of those, so I think I know the answer, but I'll let you say it anyway.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, I am not unmuted. Okay. So always one of the top five questions, right? So we've said in the past that we had launched Abra Perks now I think almost nearly a year ago. It was a massive success for Abra. We had a lot of great learnings from that experience, not just successes, but learnings. And we've said this all along, that at this point we are back to the drawing board a little bit on figuring out how to take those learnings from Abra Perks 1.0, as we call it, there's a first launch of Abra Perks, and formulate something in Abra Perks 2.0, which takes those learnings and makes that experience even better for our users, right? And so we are back to the drawing board just a little bit. We will build upon the successes of 1.0, but we'll try to fix some of the things that we might not have done, in the most efficient way for 1.0 when it comes to the next version of Abra Perks, which we're just calling 2.0 for now. So I don't have any specific timings on when we will be able to launch the next version of Abra Perks. There's so many things that are going on right now. But what I can tell you with 100% certainty is that CPerks is at the core of our strategy here at Abra. Every single product that we have today and that we will launch in future will have CPerks at the core of its, how it's positioned in the market, especially as it relates to the loyalty piece. So just as miles are important to an airline company and points are important to a hotel company, CPerks is just that for us. It's basically a loyalty point tokenized living on the blockchain, and that is the token that we use, right? And so NFTs are going to have a CPerks component to it. Credit card, which we're launching with Amex very soon, will have a CPerks component to it. And in fact, I don't know, Bill, if I'm, I'm not going to go into it very much at all, but we might actually have a really good news to share about CPerks very soon, if not end of this year, but early next year, which again is going to make sure that sort of, our products are all, there's some positioning strategy that revolves around CPerks as the utility token. So very excited about it. Very excited about the work that's being done right now, but don't have specific timings to share.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. Okay. So yeah, I know I've had some internal discussions regarding timing post new trading system. So I know we're all anxious to get this done. So Q4 is going to be a crazy time for Abra. I know all four of us are insanely busy right now, just dealing with our commitments for Q4 and even Q1 for that matter. So it's going to be pretty exciting. So I've got a few more questions for you guys here. Let's see. So if just I'm getting still more questions about the nuances of accredited versus unaccredited. So let me just say again, if you're not an accredited investor and you have funds in Abra Earn, do nothing. Okay. You're fine. You will continue to earn interest. You don't have to do anything. Okay. If you want to add more funds, the app will ask you for certain documentation. We call it documentary evidence of your accredited investor status. And if you have those documents, you can upload them. If you don't, you'll simply be able to continue to earn interest on the funds and the crypto you already have in Abra Earn. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. So I'm going to stop with some of the nuanced detail on that topic. So if you have specific questions, just open up the support feature in the app and ask support, because most of the questions now are getting into detail around people's specific situations, which is great. We want to help you. But I think rather than me say things that aren't true, I think it's better to just use the support function. It literally takes seconds. I do it myself. So So I think we're good on Boost. Priya, is there anything else that you think we need to know on the transition from Earn to Boost, or are we good?
I think we're good. This only applies to US investors. Seamless transition if you're not looking to add anything. So it's fairly straightforward.
And by the way, we have more users outside the US than we do in. I think we may have more funds in the US, but more people outside. So maybe some smaller depositors outside the US. So for most of you, this is a non-event. I see a couple of support questions. Also, please use the support function. Somebody who had to force close the app, I just saw swing by my fast feed here. And let's see. So somebody was asking about the name of the company. I saw an earlier question at the very beginning about that as well. What happens to the company now that you're forming a bank? It's actually a really complicated question. We actually have a holding company that then owns what will become Aber Bank, what will become Aber International, what will become our lending operation, which deals with our institutional investors. We have a lot of institutional counterparties at Aber now. And so there's this new Plutus Financial Holdings company, which has just been formed, and that really becomes the holding company. And then most of you in the US will become clients of Aber International. And then the US folks here will eventually become clients of Aber Bank. So you don't need to understand any of that, but since some of you asked, I thought I would throw it out there. It's a shout out to our legal team that has spent months and months and months figuring out how to navigate the complexity of all of the international laws related to running this business in lots of different countries. Will Aber Bank have pens on chains to fill out deposit slips? No, we will not have branches, but thank you for asking. Maybe in one state in particular, I can think of, we might have one branch, but, Brenton was asking if we have any Amex partner updates. Deepak already addressed that. I think so. I think we're good there. We're on track for the Amex card. I saw an actual physical card last week, and, it was pretty cool. So that's coming. So Tanner, anything else you guys want to add? Any closing thoughts here before we call it a day?
Obviously, like you said, Bill, a lot of nuance to particular situations. Just want to reinforce, I mean, our support team is here. Like, we do everything we can do to provide you with the best support in the space. Like, we're available 24/7, 365 via live human powered chat. Feel free to reach out to us for anything and everything support related. We're happy to help.
Yep. Cool. Thanks for that. And thank you all for coming on, getting lots of people expressing gratitude here on the live chat. We don't pre-announce changes to rates. I'm getting some questions there. The rates are set by the market. It's not a marketing thing in terms of like how to optimize profits. The literally is a market driven thing. So if there's more market demand for certain products, that will increase the rates. If you are interested in using our new OTC services, I was told to do a shout out for that. If you're doing very large buys, if you're an institutional buyer, if you're a high net worth buyer, and you're looking to do 6, 7, 8 figure worth of crypto buys, we actually have a dedicated team out of the app now to support that. And they can also process CPerks buys for you as well. I know some of you have been asking me about that. So same thing, you can either go to the private banking page on aber.com or go to the support function in the app, and they'll put you in touch with the right team there. I need to start memorizing that email address. Too many email addresses to memorize. So, but anyway, just go to abra.com, click on private banking, and they will put you in touch with our new over-the-counter trading desk. Okay. All right. So thank you all. Thanks, Priya. Thanks, Tanner. Thanks, Deepak. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate you doing this. And thanks for all of you for the great questions. And yeah, so I think we'll call it there. And you will see next week, I think, an updated version of the Abra app. So when you see that, I think it's October 3rd. Don't be surprised when you see Abra Boost. Again, nothing changes. You'll see the same interest rates that you saw on October 2nd. You'll continue to earn interest. Just all of the back behind the scene changes that we've been talking about here. So all good. All right. Thanks, gang. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
everyone.
All right. For all of you, we'll see you soon. Take care.